Minimize the distractions and help us to all be focused on your word, on your Bible. And Lord, as we look at this lesson tonight from the Bible, I pray you'd help our hearts to be attentive, Lord, and help us to be able to know we've heard from you. I pray you'd help me to say the things you would have me to say, Father, in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Peter chapter number 3. And like we announced earlier, we started a new series last Sunday night on the subject of the family. And last Sunday night, we preached on the role of a husband. And tonight, we'd like to continue that series as we preach on the role of a wife. And I want to take just a few moments tonight. I really don't want to be too long tonight. But I'd like to just give you 3 points on the subject of what the Bible teaches of what makes a good wife. What makes a good wife, or what is the role of a wife who's trying to fulfill her role as far as the Bible is concerned. And point number one is this: a wife is to submit to her husband. You, if you're a wife here tonight, you are to submit to your husband. If you look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Now, the Bible continues, and I'm not going to get into it because I'll get into it when we deal with the subject of divorce later. But it says that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation of the wives. The Bible tells us there that a wife is to be subject to her husband, even if her husband does not obey the word. Sometimes people say, you know, sometimes Christians have this idea. A lady will say she needs to divorce her husband, or even a husband will think they need to divorce their wife, and this is the excuse they'll give. They'll say, well, when we got married, we weren't saved, and now I'm saved, so now we can't be together. Well, according to this verse here, the Bible is telling the wives, he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," so if you've got a husband that does not obey the word, "they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife." So God is telling the wife, hey, if your husband doesn't obey the word, you stay with him and you be subject to him. You still be a good wife to him because your conversation, that word conversation is an old English word. You know, we use the word conversation talking about like having a conversation with somebody, like speaking. But the word conversation actually means the way of life, or the way of your life, the testimony of your life, the attitude of your life. He says your conversation may win him over to Christ. So that's something to take to look there. But look at down at verse number 5. Skip down to verse number 5. Look what he says. He says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection." I want you to notice that word, subjection, "unto their own husbands." The Bible says that to be the role of a wife, number one, you got to understand this: the wife is to be subject to her husband. Now, let me tell you something. What I just said right now would not fly in the average church in America today. You say, "Pastor, why can't you one day be a televangelist because of this type of preaching?" Because today, you know, we talked about it this morning, and I'm not going to take time to do it. But today, people just have itching ears, and they just want to hear what makes them feel good. And today, people don't want to hear this. But let me tell you something, it's still in the Bible. It's still in the Word of God. Where, you know, it was good in the days of Jesus Christ, and it was good in the days of Abraham, and it's good in 2012. Women ought to be subject to their husbands, is what the Bible says. Now, let me explain something to you, because I want to make this very clear to you. Sometimes people say, well, what does it mean to be subject to your husband? Well, look at verse 5 again. It says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also..." He begins to give us an example. And he says, "After this manner, in the old time, the holy..." Notice it says, "holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Look at verse 6. "Even as Sarah..." Do you see that? "Even as Sarah..." What's the next word? Obeyed. Do you see that? "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Now, I want you to notice something. That word Lord there, it's not an uppercase Lord, you know. It's not uppercase L-O-R-D. It's a lowercase L-O-R-D. The word Lord there is a title. But I want you to understand something. The Bible says that Sarah was subject to her husband, and then God gets very practical, and he explains to us what that means. Here's how Sarah was subject to her husband. She obeyed Abraham, and she called him Lord. Could you imagine that? Now, look. you know, I'm not saying you need to go home and call your husband Lord, but can you imagine if you know, you came home and your wife said, "How are you doing, Lord?" You know, that'd be kind of weird. I mean, I wouldn't even feel comfortable my wife doing that. You know, I'd say, "Ah, don't do that. You're going to get me arrested or something." But, you know, that's what Abraham, Sarah, called her husband Lord. And here's what she did. She obeyed him. So when we say, you know, women ought to be subject to their husband, here's what we mean by that. You're supposed to obey your husband. You say, like I'm some sort of a child? Like I, you know, that's below me. That's beneath me. You know, let me tell you something. The Bible says you are to be subject. A woman, a wife, is to be subject to her husband. And what that means is you're supposed to obey. So when he tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it. Now look, I know what I'm saying right now goes against the grain. It goes against the mold today. It goes against what people want to hear, what people want to believe, but it's still the Word of God. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You know what I also think is funny about these verses? And you know, we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And we believe that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Nothing's there by accident or mistake. And here's what I find very comical throughout these verses. Look at verse 1 again. It says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your husband. Is that what it says? It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your, notice this word, own husband. Do you see that? Look at verse or maybe it's in some of the other passages, but let's see. Verse 5, for after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their, notice this word, own husbands. Throughout the Bible tells us that the wife is to be subject unto her own husband. I used to read that and I think to myself, you know, why does God say your own husband? I mean, women have problems obeying their own husbands, why would they want to obey somebody else's husband? But you know what the truth of the matter is? You know what I find comical today in 2012? Women, wives, mothers have no problem going out, getting a job, having a male boss them around all day, somebody else's husband boss them around all day, tell them, you know, clean up this, do that, you know, be here at this time, be here at that time, I want you to do this, and then they come home and their husband says, hey, I need you to do this, and they'll cough up an attitude. I've got rights. See, it's comical. Women today have no problem going out 40 hours a week and obeying somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, you know, being in subjection to someone else, but then they won't be in subjection to the person that God told them to be in subjection to, their husband. The Bible says, be in subjection unto your own husband. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means obey your husband. I believe that. Now, I know that's crazy there, but I believe that when a husband tells a wife to do something, she ought to do it if she's going to follow the Bible. She ought to obey. She ought to listen. Let me tell you something. The husband is the leader of the home. That's what the Bible said. And if we get back to that in America, we get back to a day when families were together, when divorce wasn't prevalent, when women stayed home and raised their kids and taught them the Bible and taught them God's Word, we get back to a better nation if women would obey their husbands. Amen. It's the truth. Now let me tell you something. Let me explain to you something about obeying your husband. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 22. I want you to understand a few things. Because here's what women often say. They'll say, you don't know my husband. I don't need to know your husband. No one forced you to marry him, by the way. He was good enough when you were dating. And, you know, people have this idea. Well, you don't. My husband doesn't deserve to be obeyed. My husband's not godly. My husband's not, you know, he doesn't have any character. He doesn't have any integrity. He's not a good man. So, and they'll use that excuse to say, I'm not supposed to obey him. But look at what the Bible says. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 22. I want you to notice something. Ephesians 5:22, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your, notice, isn't it funny how it's all throughout Scripture? Unto your own husbands. Look what it says. As unto the Lord. You see that? How are you supposed to obey your husband? How are you supposed to be subject to your husband? In the same way that you're supposed to be subject to the Lord. So when you say, my husband's a scrub, you know, my husband's a loser, my husband doesn't know what's going on, my husband, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, because you're not obeying him because he's great, you're not obeying him because he's good, you're obeying him. See, when you obey your husband, it's like you're obeying the Lord anything. The Bible says when we go to work, we have to work as if we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my boss is an idiot. He doesn't know what... It doesn't matter if your boss... Work like you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wives, when you're obeying your husband, don't measure your obedience based on his integrity or his character or his success or his whatever. You do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. Because guess what? You're doing it unto the Lord.
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So when you obey, you're obeying like you're obeying Jesus Christ. Not only that, but look at verse 24. Let me tell you something else that people don't like. I guess that's just the preacher I am. I'm always preaching things people don't like. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their, notice what it says, own husbands. Look what it says. In everything. And let me tell you something. We've gone away from this, you know, idea. But wives are supposed to obey their husbands in everything. So, well, no, they're just a spirit, you know, people say, they're just a spiritual leader. I'm just supposed to listen to them when it comes to spiritual, no, you're supposed to listen to them in everything. Well, I'm only, they're, you know, only in matters that affect the children am I supposed to, no, you're supposed to listen to them in everything. 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 I think everything means everything. Say, well, you know, look, I mean, look, husbands, don't take this, you know, to an extreme, you know, because the next verse says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we preached that last week, so I'm not going to go there. It hurt enough last week. I don't want to do it again. But I'm just kidding. See, you guys can laugh. But let me tell you something. But I do believe that a wife should obey their husbands in everything. I can show you a verse. If your husband is so picky that he says, I want you to fold the towels this certain way. You know, you ought to just do it. You say, but it doesn't matter. I know it doesn't matter. But just do it as unto the Lord. If he says, I don't want you to put that here. I want you to put, you know, obviously I don't do it. I mean, good night. When it comes to the kitchen, sometimes people come over and ask me, where's your blender? And I'm like, what's a blender? You know? But if your husband said to you, hey, I don't want the blender here. I want it here. Just do it. You say, why? Because God said to do it. That's why. Because he said, obey them in everything. Because he said, obey him as unto the Lord.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Now let me get. Now let me explain something. You go to Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians. Guys, you might just want to keep your mouth shut. And don't get yourself in trouble. Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 3. Go to Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians, chapter number 3. Just, you know, time your amens correctly. Colossians, chapter number 3. Look at verse 18. Look what it says. Now hold on a second. You say, Pastor, I should obey my husband in everything? Everything. And let me tell you something, wife. If you come downstairs getting ready to go out and your husband says, I don't like that shirt, get rid of it. If I don't like those pants, you know, good night. I look to God, he said, I don't like those pants. Well, he said, you know, go get a skirt on, you know. But if he says, I don't like that skirt, I don't like those shoes, I don't, whatever. You say, in everything? Everything. Why? Because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter. As unto the Lord. Look at Colossians 3:18. Now, ladies, let me give you some ammo here. Colossians 3:18. Look what it says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your... Isn't it funny how consistent my voice? Own husband. Look what it says. As it is fit in the Lord. Let me explain something to you. You say, I should obey him in everything. You should obey him in everything as it is fit in the Lord. So you gotta understand this. Only the things that fit in the Lord. You understand that? You know, we talked about this on Wednesday night, so I'm not gonna take the time to do it. But in Acts 5:29, the Bible, Paul said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And if your husband asks you to do something that goes against God or God's word, then you have the right to say no. I'm gonna disobey. Does that make sense? Look at the verse again. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Your submission ought to fit under the parameters of what it would be fit in the Lord. I used this example on Wednesday night. If your husband comes home and says, we're becoming Muslim. At that point you say, hey, I ought to obey God rather than men. No, I'm not. I'm a Baptist, praise God. You know, you have that, you can do that. But if he says, you know, I would really like, tacos for dinner. And you say, no! You know, we're having meatloaf. You know, hey, just obeying everything. But I already bought, just as unto the Lord. But it's been cooking. Just do it. Be subject. Hey, if your boss said, hey, I want you to do this, and you're like, well, I've been working on this. And he said, but I want this. Wouldn't you do it? If you do it for somebody else's husband, why don't you do it for your own? But it's only in the as it is fit in the Lord. See, you don't have the right to just rule and tell your wife to do it. You know, because oftentimes we'll use that verse and they'll say, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me. You know, I mean, if your husband hands you the phone and says, here, can you lie to my boss? No. Why? Because I got to obey God rather than. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? If he asks you to sin, if he asks you to do something wrong, don't do it. Because your subjection is in the realms of anything that is fit in the Lord. But anything aside of that, I want a 3-point, in the military, it's like a 3-point corner or whatever on the, when we make the bed, I want you to stick the bed out and bring it like this and fold it over, you know, just like we did it in boot camp, honey, that's how I want. You say, that doesn't make any sense. If he says do it, just do it. Now, hopefully you don't, you didn't marry an idiot, but you see what I'm saying? You ought to obey. Point number one, you are to submit to your husband in all things. You are to obey your husband. Let me tell you, I don't care what Oprah Winfrey has to say about that. I don't really care what Hillary Clinton has to say about that. I don't care what Sarah Palin has to say about that. The Bible says that a wife ought to be subject unto her own husband. Amen and amen. Amen. Number two, a wife is to be an ornament for your husband. A wife is to be an ornament for your husband. Go back to 1 Peter. Chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I want you to look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. That word, we already talked about the word conversation means your way of life. And it says, while they behold, this is your husband. While your husband beholds your chaste conversation. The word chaste means innocent. It means virtuous. It means pure. The Bible says, your conversation, your way of life, your attitude, your testimony ought to be a testimony of purity, of virtue, of innocence. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Look at verse 3. Whose adorning, he says, let it not be that outward adorning. Adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of weighing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. Now look. You know, the Bible's not giving you an excuse here to just, look like some homeless bag woman or something. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying, oftentimes women will put so much effort into the way they look. And he says, God's saying, I wish you put as much effort in the way you look physically as the way you act. Or the way you look spiritually. He says, look at verse 4. He says, but let it be that hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even, look what he says, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. In the sight of God, of great price. Do you see that? Here are the words that ought to describe a wife. Meek and quiet spirit. He says, you should be an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. What's the word ornament mean? You ever heard of a Christmas ornament? What's an ornament? An ornament is something that lends grace and beauty. An ornament is something you put out so that people can see how graceful it is, how beautiful it is. And the Bible says that a wife ought to be an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. What's the word meek mean? The word meek means enduring injury with patience and without resentment. You know, you say you want to learn what the word meek means? Come study the life of Moses with us on Wednesday night. You'll learn what the word meek means. The word meek means that someone does you wrong and you don't hold that bitterness and you don't hold that resentment and you're still able to love them and you're still able to show grace to them. That's what the word meek means. It means enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Look, it says a meek and man's quiet spirit. That word quiet means free from noise. It means modest. It means the opposite of loud. You say, Pastor, that I know that, but you know, you need to understand something. This is a description. Isn't that a beautiful description of a wife? A meek and quiet spirit. And here's what he says, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, this is not a good phrase. It's not. But you ever heard sometimes when I was growing up, I would hear people say, you know, sometimes there'll be like a millionaire who's like 88 years old or something, and he'll marry like a 22-year-old, and you know they'll call it, they'll say, oh, that's his trophy wife, and obviously that's a bad term. But you know what they're talking about? They're saying they don't really that she's just with him for the money, and it's just and he knows it. He is just like someone he has with him, so he can take her to the parties, and that's like he can show her off like a trophy wife. But you know what the funny thing? And obviously that's a bad thing. You don't want to grow up to be a trophy wife, okay? You want to marry someone who loves you and you love them and you have a relationship. But you know what the funny thing is? That the Bible is actually telling us here that you, wife, spiritually, you ought to spiritually be a trophy wife. Does that make sense? You ought to be an ornament. Something that, you know what I love about being able to preach something like this? You know, being able to preach that, and that wives ought to be meek, and ought to be quiet, and ought to be humble, and ought to be loving. You know what I love about that? Is that my wife, no one would say, oh, you're careful saying that. You know, my wife is the epitome of a meek and quiet spirit. You know what I'm saying? And that, and that's something we can, we, I can bring out and say, hey, you know, model that. That's an ornament. That's something you can look. That's what you should be, wife, spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about adorning the hair and all that stuff. But physically, spiritually, you ought to be that ornament that your husband can say, hey, this is my wife. Isn't she great? She's meek. She's quiet. She's patient. She's loving. She's graceful. Isn't that a beautiful description of a wife? Let me give you the opposite of that. Go with me to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter number 21. You open up your Bible smack down in the middle, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Go to Proverbs 21. Look at verse number 9. Proverbs 21, verse 9. Proverbs 21, verse 9, the Bible says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, it's better to live on a roof somewhere, in the corner of a roof, than to have a big old nice white house, but you live with some brawling woman. Isn't that crazy? Look at verse number 19, same chapter. It is better to dwell in the wilderness, talking about a desert, than with a contentious and an angry woman. Do you see that? The Bible says, it's better to go just pitch a tent in the wilderness than come home to some angry, contentious, always fighting with your woman. That's what the Bible says. Look, I didn't sneak that in your Bible. I was already there. Look at Proverbs 25. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 25, verse 24. Proverbs 25, 4 says this, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a white house. Let me tell you something, and let me explain something to you. The Bible says that a wife ought to be meek, ought to be quiet, she ought to be an ornament, she ought to be grateful, she ought to be patient. But the opposite of that is loud, contentious, angry, brawling. Let me tell you something, today in America, women have fallen hook, line, and sinker for this feminist movement where women walk around being a bunch of loud mouthing. I got rights. I can't. I'm not going to let some man tell me what to do. I'm my own woman. You gotta get a life. You gotta get right with God. You gotta say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna be an example of a holy woman like Sarah, who obeyed her husband and called him Lord. Let me tell you something. Hey, young ladies, you want to get a husband? Be meek and quiet. No man wants to come home to some brawling woman who's always nagging him about something, always fighting with him about something, always putting him down, always belittling him. The Bible says you ought to have a meek and a quiet and a chaste conversation. That's what you're looking for. Well, Oprah told me, I don't care what Oprah said, the Bible says meek and quiet spirit. You ought to be the opposite of a feminist. Let me tell you something. The feminist movement in America destroyed this country. Bunch of women decided, I'm going to stop shaving my legs and stop shaving my armpits. I'm going to go burn my bra somewhere. I'm going to go get a job somewhere. And I'm going to be like a man. You're crazy. You will never be like a man. God made us different. And He did it for a reason. Let me tell you something, young ladies. A man doesn't want to marry another man. Not a normal man. You ought to, you know, that's, you can have a roommate if you And that's what God says.
Amen.
Meek and quiet spirit. And your job is to be an ornament to your husband. Something he could say, hey, look at my wife. Isn't that great? Didn't God give me a great wife? You know, but instead today, women are being taught that, you know, be some hippie and you know what the worst part of it? Women get the wrong part of the deal. You know, let me just break it down to you. 99% of these divorced families, the husband gets to go work some job and be by himself and live, you know, whatever, and the woman's stuck with the kids. So you live your little independent life, I'm going to do what I want, you're going to end up paying for it anyway. Just live God's life. Live what He said. I said, number one, your role as a wife is to submit to your husband. I said, number two, your role as your wife is to be an ornament to your husband. You know, I love the fact that you ladies can look at my wife as an example of someone who's meek. I can't, you know, and I'm not, I honestly, I cannot think of a better description to describe my wife than meek and quiet spirit. And I mean, I'm telling you the honest truth. And that's what the Bible says you ought to be. Yeah, you know, you ought not be this loud mouth, you know, just always talking bad, always contentious, always angry, always fighting about something. That's what the Bible says. Number three, go with me to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, look at verse number 18. Genesis chapter number 21, look at verse number 18. Genesis chapter number 21, look at verse number 18. Genesis 21:18, the Bible says, we find here, I'm sorry, I said Genesis 21, I meant Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. We find here when God, obviously chapter 1, He created the heavens and the earth. Did I write down the wrong verse? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. That's where we want to be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Look what it says. Genesis 2:18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Do you see that? God created Adam and He said, it's not good that Adam's alone. I'm going to make him a help meet. Okay? Verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Isn't this kind of a funny story? I mean, obviously it's the word of God, so it's great. But God looks at Adam, He says, it's not good for the man to be alone. He says, I'm going to find him a helpmate. I'm going to find him a partner. And then God begins to recreate the animals. And He brings these animals and He brings to Adam a lion. And He says to Adam, what do you think you should name this? And he says, I think we'll call it a lion. And then God says, dude, would you like this to be your helpmate? And he says, I don't know. Maybe something with less hair. So then He brings him an orangutan. You know, I don't know. He brings him some. You know, He brings him all these animals, all these cattle, all these birds. And Adam names each one of them. But when he gets done naming all of them, God says, which one did you like? Which one would you like to be your helpmeet? And the Bible says, for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Isn't that funny? Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now I want you to understand something. When God created the role of a wife, He created her to fill this need. Man needed a help meet. Obviously, we all know what the word help means. It means to come along them and to help them to carry that burden, carry the load, to encourage them to be that person that's going to help them. But I want you to notice something. He didn't just make them a help. He made them a help meet. That word meet there, the word meet means suitable. He made Eve a help that would be suitable for Adam. See, the animals weren't suitable to help him. But He said, I'll create a woman she'll be suitable and she'll be able to help him. And that's really, right there, is the role of a wife, to be able to be a help meet to her husband. You ever heard this phrase before? Behind every great man, there stands a great woman. That's the truth. No, just recently I heard this story. President George, not W. Bush, but Bush Sr. What was his middle initial? H? H.W., something like that? President George H.W. Bush? Was that his name? You know what I'm talking about. The older guy. And when he was president, he was in Texas, his hometown, with his wife, and they were going down, you know, and they were riding in a limousine or whatever, and the limousine needed to pull over and fill up with gas, so they pulled over there in a gas station there in Texas, and obviously they knew the president was coming, and comes out this clerk, and he begins to pump the gas, and while he's pumping the gas, the first lady, Barbara Bush, you know, we're told this is a true story, I don't know if it is, but, you know, Barbara Bush says, "Oh, I know that guy," and she quickly, you know, comes out of the vehicle there, and begins to talk to him, and says, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" And they converse for a few minutes, and she comes back in, and the president, George Bush Sr., says to his wife, he says, "Who was that?" And she said, "Oh, that was my old boyfriend in college." And he begins to laugh. And he says, "You mean to tell me that you are married to the most powerful man in the world? But if you would have married that guy, you'd be the wife of a gas clerk, you know, a gas clerk attendant?" And she said, "Oh, George, don't be silly. If I would have married him, he'd be president." And you know, the truth is, there's some truth to that. The Bible says that God made a wife to be a help suitable. See, you know, oftentimes I would hear women, you know, people say, I'd be in youth conferences when I was a teenager and stuff, and all these women, you know, these girls would come out, "God has called me to the mission field." I'm thinking to myself, "Well, do you plan on getting married?" "Well, yeah, I'd love to get married." "Well, did God call your husband to that mission field?" Because here's the thing, God gave your husband a role. And he made for him a wife that would help him, be suitable for him, to help him fulfill that role. Do you understand that? God gave your husband a plan and a purpose and a mission and a goal in life. And then God created a wife for that husband and said, "Your wife is to help that man be successful." Today in America, women all across the country, you know, criticize their husband. Say, "My husband's a loser. My husband's a failure. My husband doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have income. He doesn't do anything right. He's a failure in life." And maybe what your husband needs, instead of an angry woman, you know, nagging him all the time and fighting with him, instead of a prowess woman, maybe he needs some help. Maybe he needs some woman to come up beside him and instead of kicking him when he's down, say, "Hey, honey, let me encourage you. Let me help you. Let me fulfill my role. Because God created me suitable to help you." And today, women say, "My husband's a loser," and I think to myself, maybe you'd help him not be a loser. Maybe he'd be successful if you'd be the help me you're supposed to be. Instead of trying to go out and be the CEO of some company, or trying to be the governor or the president, maybe you stay home and you're a help meet. He fulfilled his role. That's your job, wife. That's why God created a woman. That's why God created Eve. God looked down from heaven and he said, "I like Adam. He's a good guy, but he's kind of dense. He's kind of slow. He doesn't understand things sometimes. Sometimes I have to speak really slowly to him and explain it a few times. He needs some help. He needs a wife. He needs a help me suitable to help him fulfill his role." Amen. That's what your role is as a wife, to be a help me. But today women say, I'm going to fulfill the role of a husband and my husband will help me. Got it backwards. Your role is to make him successful. Your role is to help him be better. Your role is to be a help me to your husband. Say, how do I do that? By being an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. How do I do that? By being subject and obedient and quiet and having a testimony that is chaste and pure and lovely. You'll be a help me to your wife, to your husband. That's your role. Wife, your role, the word meet there means suitable. Your role is to complete that man. Your role is to come up beside that man and make him complete. Help him. Help him understand. Help him. Now, I didn't say boss him around. I said help him. Love him. And you, as you, you know, are a suitable helpmeet. You start seeing him, you know, one day he becomes the President of the United States, and she knows, I helped him fulfill that role. And a husband that's not an idiot will say, I can't do this without my wife.
That's right.
I can't, you know. You know, the truth of the matter is, husbands can't raise kids without a wife. You know that I can't pastor without a wife? Biblically, that's one of the qualifications to be a pastor, is a wife. A wife who's submissive, a wife who's obedient. You know, that's what you need. And every, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. Every husband will not fulfill his role as a husband if they don't have a wife come up beside him and say, come here, I'll help you. Come here, I'll encourage you. Come here, I'll pray for you. Come here, you know, I'll weep with you and I'll laugh with you. I'll rejoice with you. I won't be ashamed of you. I'm going to help you. And as you help him fulfill your role, here's a beautiful thing. You fulfill your role of being a helpmeet suitable for your husband. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for our church. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to have a series on Sunday nights about the family. And Lord, I pray you'd help the men to take that role of a husband, the leader of the home, and to say, this is the authority God has given me, has made me a leader here. I'm going to be the spiritual leader. I'm going to be the provider. But then help the ladies come up beside that man and say, I'm going to help you fulfill that role. I'm going to help you be successful. And as you fulfill your role, I'll fulfill my role as a helpmeet. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.